The Lord put this thought on my heart, and it is for all you parents that have kids that started to school last week. And I just want to go over some things with you, things that we should do for our kids and with our kids as they go back to school. Some of you don't have kids in school, but your day's coming, and some of you done got it over with, so pray and help these that do. So let's take just a few minutes tonight and think about it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child, the Bible says, in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a great book, great chapter, great verse, and a great promise. Now, I want to talk about this a little while. I got to thinking about them kids. You know, we have kids that have to get on the school bus at 7:30, some of them 7:15, and get home at 4:30, 5 days a week. That means they are spending more time at school and school functions, especially when you start adding in after-school functions and homework. They spend more time doing that than any other one thing. More than a whole lot more than church, a whole lot more than family time, a whole lot more than, I mean, you're talking 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, not counting homework and extra school activities, basketball, football, volleyball, cheerleading, all this stuff. So whether your kids go to a Christian school, a private school, a public school, or your home school, all that takes up a tremendous amount of their time. So let's talk about that, and I want you to help me. We can help each other. We do have, do we have any homeschoolers still in here tonight? We have anybody who's homeschooling their kids? Okay, Miss Ann. I mean, it's your girls homeschool. Ann's done graduated? Amen. Is there anybody else? I know we've had some in the past. Right now, private school or Christian school, raise your hand. Oh, that's a pretty good sized group there. And then the rest, I assume, would be public school. Okay? I have had people tell me, I had two people tell me this week, one preacher from another state, they said, Brother Danny, they said, boy, the Lord has sure blessed you with your girls. I said, all you girls are in church, right? And I said, that's right. All you girls, that's good, right? And I said, that's right. They said, man, the Lord, because they kept telling me about this preacher, his kid bad, and this preacher, his kid went bad. And just about every preacher has at least one kid that goes crazy. They become a queer, or they. Really, I'm not joking you. I just heard one this week. Or they become, often. I don't mean that like I'm. Man, my heart aches for them. My heart breaks for them. And I don't know which one of you three back there is going to go crazy. Whichever one wants to die first. But I thank God for my girls. They never went to a public school. And I give the Christian school a lot of credit for them and what it instilled in them. Just like wearing dresses. Just wearing dresses. The girl goes to Christian school, she just gets in the habit of wearing dresses. And it ain't no big deal for her to wear dresses on Sunday. We have girls that say, I hate dresses. Like it's some kind of torture or something. Actually, they're a lot better off. You're a lot better off. I mean, I can't wear a dress, but it seemed to me like it'd be more, you know, you get some air on your legs instead of burning up old long britches all the time. But just a lot of stuff like that. But everyone's got its problems. Every school has its problems. Every individual family has a problem. Every kid's not natured alike. You can't say, if that was my kid, boy, and compare your kids to somebody else's kids because they're all different. That's right. If I had some people's kids, they'd be in jail, I'm sure. Really, I mean that. I'm not just saying that. Kids are natured different. Everybody's kids is natured different. I think a lot of people that's got these mild-mannered, perfect little kids and everything, and they take all the glory themselves. You don't deserve all that glory. God's blessed you with good kids. You ought to just shout about it. Yeah. It ain't because you're so great. Or, you know, God just blessed you. If you had kids like some people, they'd be doing like people. Right. You ought to thank God for them. But I want to talk about this a little bit. And when they go to school, let's go over some things. And you're gonna get some help out of this if you'll listen to me. First thing I think you ought to do, in my opinion, I think you ought to pray with them in the morning before they leave. I really do. I believe in family altar at night and all that stuff, but I've heard of people saying, Mama would make us all sit still before we went to school. And she'd put her hand on my shoulder and she'd say, Lord, don't you let them do nothing wrong. Lord God, get them to protect them. Don't let them get into nothing. And you know, they feel that when they get on that bus and get to school. They feel that. So you mamas, pray with them. You say, Brother Danny, we're so rushed and everything. We're leper morning and all that. Well, look, one minute of just getting them down and saying, all right, everybody pray. Now just bow your head. Let's pray. That's why I did mine when he was little. Say, Lord, help him today. Give him a good day. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da. We'd always pray at night, but I think it's a good idea to pray in the morning. But before they leave, they can feel Mama's hand on their shoulder. And when they start to do something they shouldn't do, they can. Mama's prayer is going to come back to their ears and their mind. So I believe it's a good idea. Now, you may think, and we got a lot of you here that have your kids in public school. Brother Mike there, Miss Alicia, they teach in public school. No, what grade do you work with, Brother Mike? Eighth grade? Buddy, I'll tell you, that'd be a rough bunch. That would be a rough bunch. But I'm sure parents don't know and the teachers don't even know what those kids talk about when they're out of the room and in the hallways and stuff. I heard somebody the other day, they said they went to high school, their first day of high school, and they said you would not believe the comments they heard. A girl walked down the high school hall. She said you wouldn't believe the comments boys made when she walked by. This is the stuff they said. Now, the teachers miss a lot of that. And the parents don't hear about none about that. And so if you think, well, that's a good school. My kid's a good kid. You're kidding yourself. They're going to hear every kind of old filthy trash that you can imagine. Even in a Christian school. Don't kid yourself. Now, I mean, I think Christian school's far ahead, but I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. You know, we started a school, and we run a school for years, and up there in Marion. And if you think your kids ain't going to hear nothing bad, you're kidding yourself. Because they are. I thought them kids in a Christian school supposed to be. You know, they are supposed to be, but they ain't. They ain't. And they're going to hear it at the lunch table. They're going to hear it on the playground. They're going to hear it in the gym. And the best thing you can do is put your hands on them and pray with them when they leave, before they leave in the morning. Now, we're going to talk about what I'm going to talk about, not do it all tonight. I'm going to talk about the philosophy and doctrine they're going to learn at school. I'm going to talk about their peers, who you let them hang out with. Now I'm going to talk about sports and activities. And then we'll talk about how to get your kids just to take a stand for the Lord at school. First, the philosophy and doctrine. This is where the public school and the Christian school major differently. Now, I thank God for every Christian teacher in the public school. We have some, back Miss Alicia. We have others that help out in Christian school or in public school. Thank God for them. The principal at Nebo Elementary, Joyce Poplin, I went to school with her, and she's a Christian. She goes to church. She loves the Lord. But you know what? They're even though they're a Christian, they can only go so far with their beliefs. The basic philosophy of the public school from here to California is that sin is a fact and should be taught as a fact. We got the textbook, you know, I got a copy of the textbook at home, and that the earth has been here from 18 to 20 billion years. And that dinosaurs ruled earth and man evolved from that. And all of that is opposite from the Bible. So the basic public school philosophy is the Bible is not true. Now they won't say that because you can't say that. And they won't say this is the only way to do it. But that's the only... A teacher can teach creation in school. And the Constitution gives them that right. To give them that offer. You can do it. It is legal. You can do it. They try to tell you you can't, but you can. But few do. Thank God for the ones that do. Thank God for the ones that do. But when these kids get in high school or junior high or whenever you learn, wherever you study biology and science and all of that stuff, they're going to get a textbook and it's going to have the monkey men in it evolving into a man. And you as a parent are going to have to tell your children what's right and what's wrong before they go to school.
Amen.
You're going to have to, because Jesus said God made them male and female at the beginning of creation. Adam and Eve. There's no evolution. They didn't evolve up from a lower form of life. They didn't come from an animal. Kids are taught now that they are highly evolved animals. That's what kids are taught. And those Hovind videos that Brother Tim gave me, and I gave Sean a set of them. I got a few, Brother Mike, too. He goes into all that stuff about quotes from the public school textbooks that say, basically, man is God. Man's his own God. We decide what's right and wrong. We decide everything about evolution is opposite from what the Bible said. The Bible teaches that God made man. The world teaches that man made God. That we just thought up God and made God in our image. The Bible said God made us in his image. So it's two complete different philosophies. One man came one time and he said, well, can't you believe in evolution and creation and evolution and the Bible? And I said, no, you sure can't. What they're trying to say is science is right and the Bible's right. They call that theistic evolution. Theistic evolution means God created the world, but he did it using evolution. And that's a chicken way out to try to say, oh, well, they're right and they're right. And not so. Like I said, Jesus said from the beginning of the creation, God made a male and female. So whatever he done there, he started right at the beginning. He didn't make an amoeba and then let it grow into that. And then a lot of other things that we could talk about. But that's their basic philosophy. They said that when them shootings happened at Columbine, when them Columbine shootings happened, you've heard Brother Derek gave a lesson on it the other morning. It was very good. And it showed them boys on there. And they said the next day, Rose O'Donnell got on her TV show and said, guns is a problem, guns are the problem, guns are the bad thing, guns are awful, guns, we need more gun law. And some guy put a bumper sticker. Did y'all see that? Did you see where he said that? Some guy put a bumper sticker on the back of his RV and it said, guns didn't cause the shooters at Columbine to kill their classmates. No more than spoons cause Rosie O'Donnell to be fat. That's what it said. And he said, amen. That's right. She should say spoons are what's causing this. We should pass laws against spoons. You should be able to only eat so much. No, it ain't the spoon's fault. Guns never kill nobody. It's the person who uses the gun and the person who misuses the gun. You know, let me tell you, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but you want me to tell you what caused the shooting in Columbine High School? Demonic spirits working through rock music and rock video in our culture. That's what caused it. You can mark it down. You find out at the judgment that I know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. I'd be willing, if it's all right to bet, admit you any amount of money that their favorite rock groups, them boys, them favorite rock groups inspired them. And then the demons got in them and they had demonic power talking them into doing that stuff. Ain't no doubt about that. The demonic power caused them to do that. That's not natural. Boys used to bring guns to school all the time when I went to school. And leave them in the back of their truck and they'd go squirrel hunting that evening. And nobody even thought about getting shot. Nobody even thought about shooting a teacher and stuff. Well, we didn't thought about it. But not seriously. Not seriously. We always wanted the school to burn down. When I was in school, we always wanted the school to burn down. Boy, I wish place I'd burn down. I wish somebody come over here. Always wanted, and the year after I graduated, the school burned down. It did. Boy, I was so mad. I went there all them years and it never burned down. Y'all remember when Nebo School burned down? Man, that was awful. But I tell you what, we wasn't really going to do that. We wasn't really going to shoot people. Well, that was crazy. That was crazy. So the basic philosophy and doctrine is, he goes over on that video, y'all will get it when you listen to this. He says this, Kent Hovind said he's sitting beside this guy on an airplane, taught at Berkeley. Y'all know Berkeley University is in California. One of the most liberal, wicked, one of the evilest places in the country. And I think Berkeley, where is Berkeley? Is it in San Francisco? It is? I know it's in California, but the city, is it near San Francisco? I believe it is. I, That's where all that hippie stuff started back in the 60s. Now, y'all ain't heard of Haight and Asbury? Anybody in here know about Haight and Asbury Street? That's Haight Street, and it's H-I-G-H-T, Haight and Asbury. That's where the hippie movement started in this country. They tune in, tune out, and turn on, and drop out, and all that, you know. And boy, I'm telling you, man, that place is wicked. He said he sat beside this scientist from Berkeley, and naturally he got in a conversation. What do you do for a living? He said, I travel from city to city teaching about creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. And so this guy said, really? And he said, how do you believe the world got here? And that guy said, here's what they teach. He said, way back 18 to 20 billions of years ago, all the matter was in a little small space, and it exploded, and that became the Big Bang. And then the universe just kept expanding out of that matter, which was dirt, basically. And Kent Hovind asked him, he said, well, where'd that dirt come from? Where did the dirt come from? He said, I don't know where it come from. So he said, you believe in the beginning, dirt. And that's what he believed. He's a scientist that taught at Berkeley. He said, you go back there far enough, where'd everything come from? And he said, there was matter, space, and time, and this dirt exploded, and the universe formed, galaxies and stars and planets and everything. And he said, what do you believe? He said, I believe that God made the earth and heaven and earth, just like the Bible said. He said, the only difference between me and you is I believe in the beginning, you believe in the beginning, dirt. And that's true. That's exactly right. That's the two philosophies. In the beginning, God, or in the beginning, dirt. It's a whole lot easier to believe in the beginning, God. Do you know why they won't believe in the beginning, God? Because they don't want nobody telling them what to do and live their life. And they have a moral reason. People believe in evolution have a moral reason. If there's a God, we're accountable to Him. If there's a God, He's going to deal with us. If there's a God, that makes us sinners. And we don't want that. So we just say, no God, and take this leap of faith and believe it all come out by itself rather than say, God did it. And I'm telling you, buddy, that's two different philosophies. And your philosophy on life determines how you live. What you believe determines how you live. What a person believes determines how they live. You see people out here, the way they live, like that because of what they believe. Your belief influences your behavior major. Now, is it any wonder we got kids out here acting like animals? It's because they're taught from day one that they are an evolved animal. And that's a complete opposite philosophy than what we teach as the Bible. All right, anybody got a question or something you want to say on that? Or a comment? Or something you want to add? Anybody, right quick. Brother? Into the bush that have been in Canaan land in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks. Well, let's talk about their peers. Now, your kids are going to go to school, and they're going to have a bunch of other kids their age. And the strongest influence on kids there is their peers. They sure are. Look at them. They want to dress. They were discussing on Fox News the other night, making all the public school have a dress code. And they were saying there's so much fussing and fighting over clothes, and people stealing each other's shoes, and certain kind. And you, if you don't have a certain kind of blue jeans, or if you don't have a certain kind of, I mean, you parents, every one of you parents know what I'm talking about. Kids come home and they say, "I gotta have this." Why? Everybody in my class has got one. We did the same thing when I was in school. Converse tennis shoes, blue jeans, certain kind of shirt, polo shirt, or something like that. And brother, it's a tremendous amount of pressure. They was talking on the news the other night. They're saying that there's a big movement making all the public schools have a dress code. After them criticizing Christian school all these years, they're saying they might do it. And somebody got on there and they say, I think it's a good idea because I went to Catholic school and we all had to dress alike, and that cuts out all this competition with kids saying, ah, he got nothing, he's poor. And just make them all dress the same. And then somebody else come on there and they said, if you do that, kids, they'll have underwear sticking out that'll say Tommy Hilfiger, or they'll have socks or hairdo or chain or something to make them better than the next one so they can say, I'm better than you are. Kids are going to find some way to elevate themselves over the rest of the kids. It's human nature. That's the way they're natured. And brother, that is a major problem. Because nobody wants their kids to go to school and all the other kids make fun of them. But at the same time, how are you going to teach them right and then be right, and you can't afford to dress your kids like other people dress theirs? That's a big problem. Peer pressure is a major problem. Christian school, public school, it doesn't matter. Talk to them. You know what I always told my girls? My mom told me, tell your kids this. Nobody at that school is better than you are. Tell them that. You are no better than they are. They're all the same. I always tell my girl, you're not better than anybody. Just because you're a preacher's kid, that don't make you a bit better than anybody else. Don't you ever think you're better than a bus kid? Don't you ever think you're better than somebody maybe has holes in their shoes? Don't you ever, because you're not. You're not. And I'm not, and you're not. Don't you ever think you're better than somebody because they don't live in a nicer house? Don't you ever think you're better than somebody because they're of a different race? Don't you ever think you're better than somebody because they're a different culture? Don't you ever think that. We're all the same. God loves everybody the same. We're all the same. Amen? That's right. And teach them that. Beat it in their head. You say, well, I teach my kids better than anybody else. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. You don't want your kids to have an attitude they're better. But don't teach them their worth. Don't say, well, we're just trash, honey, and it's always going to be that way. No. No. Say, you're just as good as anybody else. I've heard people say that. You can beat it into a kid's head. They're a loser. They're never going to amount to nothing. You're just like your old sorry daddy that run off with that woman, and you're going to wind up. And you can put that in their head to where they think that's all they can ever do. Really can. I'm not teaching positive thinking, but it's a good idea to tell kids, hey, you know, you can achieve something. You can make something out of yourself. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I know there's some people that carry that to extreme, but there's nothing wrong with telling your kids, listen, you've got it in you. You can do something. You can amount to something when you grow up. Amen? Somebody help me on that right there. Anybody? Right quick. Did anybody ever have it beat in your head when you was little that you was no count and you was never going to amount to nothing? And look, y'all, you're crazy. My girls, right? You did not, little brats. Listen, they grew up and everybody, when they grew up and everybody said, I saw his girls. I know his girls. I know. Yeah, that's the way they grew up. Let them kid you about and make you feel sorry for them. One little kid came one time. He told Mama, he said, Mama, I saw God's kids. And he was a little boy about that. And he said that at New Manna. That's who had their hand raised beside them? Brother Wayne. Did you have it beat in your head, Brother Ray? Well, that's right, wasn't it? No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Do what now?
She still does.
Does she? Janie. Amen. Hallelujah. By the help of God, he rose. Ray comes out on top. Amen. Because you didn't go to school, or just... That's sad, man. That's sad. You ain't learned to spell yet. The whole community knows that. Oh, did you? No. That's right. Everybody reads our sign because they want to see all the words that spell wrong. That keeps them reading it, don't it? Anybody else? I mean, that's hard to admit, and I appreciate y'all saying that tonight because that's the wrong way to do a kid. On the other hand, you don't want to build them up and think, boy, you're the smartest one in school. My kid's smarter than everybody else. I've heard a lot of people do that. My kid's smarter than everybody in class. My kid's smarter than all that. Now, that's pretty dangerous, too, because you don't want them to start thinking they're smarter and better than everybody else. Even if they are, don't let them start thinking they got the edge on everybody else. Tell them you're smart, you're a bright kid, do something for the Lord, but don't tell them they're better than their friends and don't tell them they're worse than their friends. Now, let's talk about this friend business a little bit. Every person I've ever talked to that their kid got in trouble at school, the mom tells me, he's a good boy, he just got with the wrong crowd. Every one of them says that. And you talk to this one, and they say the same thing. And this, they say, first thing you know, who is the wrong crowd? Listen, their kid is the wrong crowd. Their mama's saying the same thing about their kid as they're saying about their other kid. You can't say, my kid's good, them old mean kids influence my kid. You lay the blame where it belongs. If they do something wrong, it's their fault. Amen? If they do something wrong, it's their fault. You cannot say, people say, well, my kid ain't learning. His teacher ain't no good. You know, my kid ain't learning. The other students distract him. I've had people in this church tell me, well, my kid is in trouble because of that kid. Your kid don't have to sit in the back with the troublemaker. Your kid can sit right here and behave and say amen and study the Bible, right? Ain't nobody making them hang out with the wrong crowd. There ain't nobody making them do nothing wrong. They can sit in the class and pay attention if they want to. Now let's talk about this peer business a bit. I didn't want my kids hanging around with kids that I thought was going to lead them the wrong way. I didn't tell them it's better than they was. Don't give them that impression. But they live the wrong way. Put it this way. I hardly ever let my kids go home with somebody and spend the night with them. Hardly ever. And I wouldn't advise you to.
Amen.
I wouldn't advise you to. You say, well, brother, you think we're better? No, but I'm telling you, you don't know what goes on in these homes nowadays. I would strongly urge you, don't let your kids go home and spend the night unless you know them real good. Now, there was people in Marion and still people here in our church that I would let them. I knew them. Their kids grew up together. We knew their life. We knew them for 10 or 15 years. Then I'd them go. But you know what? Every time my girls, they can tell you, is 9 times out of 10, I'd always say, honey, let them come spend the night with you. Not you go with them. Let them come spend the night with you. And that way I know what to do. And you say, well, you're saying they're better than that other family. But listen, you let them go home with some kids, their parents have no telling what going on. I mean, they hear no telling what. They let them watch anything that's on TV. That's not a good idea. Now, I don't think that you're supposed to just keep your kids like this and don't even ever let them play with nobody because they're going to turn out to be weird little nerds. They've got to get out there.
Amen.
They've got to. Really, they do. And some of these good Christian kids are nerds, brother. And really, I feel sorry for them. They can't function in society. And something's wrong there. They've got to be in the world, but not of the world. And you got a major task ahead of you, parent. You got a major task. Let them go play. Let them be involved in sports. We'll get to that in a little bit. If we have time, I might have to wait till next week. But this peer business, I just wouldn't let them spend the night with anybody. I wouldn't. I'd say, honey, all your friends can come over here and we'll pop popcorn and y'all can watch a decent movie and we'll do this or whatever. Anybody need to say anything on that right there? Right there. It's very, very risky letting them go off with a group. Say, well, so-and-so's having a pajama party and we're just going to spend the night and all we're going to do is just watch movies and have fun. When they tell you that, did you do that with their age? Is that all you did? No, it ain't. It's all going to be all girls. What nuthead don't know the great truth where the girls are? Sooner or later, the boys will be. Sooner or later. Boys are going to be around where girls are. And if you think, listen, I remember growing up, everybody say, we're going to spend the night at so-and-so's house. Oh, yeah, okay, well, he's spending the night. I know them. They're good people. They go to church. And mom and daddy would leave, and the kids would run through the house and get into all kind of meanness. Amen? And that's a mistake. Somebody help me out. Anybody? Right quick. I don't know, brother. That's a good question.
Because you see a lot of teenagers or kids that's raised in church, they never get out,
Yeah. I've heard it preached both ways. I've heard preachers try to say when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And then I've heard other days, when he's old, he'll come back to it. But that ain't what it says. It says when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Maybe there'll be a time period there when they rebel. A lot of kids go through a rebellious stage and they think they know everything. And then when they get old, they're not depart from it. I don't know. I wish we could claim that and say, boys, I'll train them upright. But I hear a lot of people train their kids the best they can, and then they still go wild. So, I don't know. Anybody else? That's right. God. That's about as crazy as you can get. That's about as crazy. 13 years old, and take them boyfriend, girlfriend to movies, let them out, come back and get them 3 hours later. That's as crazy as you can get. You might do it, but I'm nothing personal, but I think you're crazy, brother. That's right. That's the way it goes. That was when Ray Ray went to the movies. Yes, why won't you? And what they'll do, they'll wear you down and wear you down. To finally say, go on. If you'll shut up, go on. And there's where you make a mistake. You let them wear you down. Now, I know how it is. They'll keep on. And some's worse than others. Some kids will beg and beg and beg. And it's your fault, parent. You got to let them know. Because if they think they can wear you down and talk you into anything, that they'll drive you crazy and it's your fault. All right, anybody else right quick? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. It's wrong for mom and daddy not staying together. But daddy will say no, then he'll run over here and say, well, mama said I could. So me and mama's right and you're wrong. See what you're doing? And you should never let kids drive a wedge in between mom and daddy, because them kids are going to be gone in a few years and mom and daddy stays together forever. According to the Word of God, your mate comes first, then your kids. I've heard people say, I'll put my kids first. He can die for all I care. Really, that's not scriptural. It really ain't. Because them kids, you're just half them kids a few years and they're going to be gone. But your mom and parent, husband and wife be together till death. Anybody else right quick? That's true. That's true. That's true. I don't know. I don't know. Who did I let you go? I never did let them go nowhere. Shelly. See Shelly. And then Hulk was a bad influence on them. Is that the only place you ever went and spent the night, Carrie? It's not, it's not, it's not. Who? Jennifer Carswell, that's right. That's right. But they all went to our church, and we all went to church together, school together. Yeah. That's what you do. Make it more fun to come to yours. Because, you know, we let them go wild. I told them stories. We jumped around, cut up, acted a fool. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Hey, I look back. I'll tell you where I got this conviction or belief. It ain't really a conviction. I'll tell you where I got this. I went back in my own mind, and I remembered every meanest stuff I ever got into about it. I spent the night with these boys that I went to school with. And their parents let them do stuff that I couldn't do and go places I couldn't go. And I remember getting into all kind of wickedness. Listen, folks. Listen to me. All you parents. When your kids go to, I had a girl tell me, let's see, 6 months ago, not a girl, a woman, young lady, said, when I was about in the sixth grade, we'd go to my friend's house and spend the night. They'd go into their mom and daddy's bedroom. Mom and daddy's gone to the grocery store. Daddy had all kinds of pornographic books, everything in there. They went through the whole thing, sixth grade girls. And it messed that girl up for life. If you think it ain't going to happen to your kids, you're crazy. It's out there, and it does happen. And this one person I know that did that was a deacon in a Baptist church, the man was. And his boy knew where he kept his books hid and went in there and got them and looked at them all the time. I was at his house when we did it. And I was 11 years old. So don't think that these are good people, they go to church, so it's all right. What was your question? Yeah. Well, it's listen, I know it's hard on you mamas. It's hard on you, and you mamas, your hardest thing is going to be, where am I too strict and when am I too loose? Where's the middle ground? Too strict, too lenient. Too strict. They say, well, if you're too strict, they'll grow up and rebel. That may be. But if you're too loose, they don't have to rebel. They're already gone. They're 12 years old. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing raising kids today, and that's why I want to do this tonight to try to help y'all. And we'll do it again next Wednesday night. Brother Wayne? Yeah. That's right. They'll steal stuff from you. How many of your kids come home with your kids and they rip you off? Yep, there are several. They'll do it, man. You can't leave nothing laying around. Anybody else? They'll swear up and down they didn't get it, and you'll see them wearing it about a week later. Going down the road. All right. Well, let's pray that God will make us better parents. And the answer is a good Bible-believing church and Holy Ghost services and a godly mom and daddy. That's the answer. Ain't no other answer. All right. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father.